Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
Should you scrape user data from social media such as LinkedIn and Twitter? That's what we're going to discuss today. This is me, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is me, Manish Nepal.
So recently, we have been having this offline discussion, Manish, where we have been discussing whether it's a good idea to scrap information from online and especially social sites.
That's right, Yag. And for listeners who are not familiar with what web scraping is or might be new to this concept, let's start by defining what web scraping is. Mm-hmm. According to Wikipedia definition, web scraping or web harvesting, or also called as web data extraction, is data scraping used for extracting data from website. And people might use web scraping software to access the World Wide Web directly using hypertext transfer protocol or through a web browser.
Right. So, and some of the examples, I think, is the set of tools that people use on a daily basis to scrap information from these sites. So any idea? Do you use any tools, Manish?
Well, I haven't personally used them, but I know marketers and growth hackers that use a tool such as Phantom Buster, for example. Duck Soup is another really famous tool that people use to extract data from platforms like LinkedIn or YouTube or Twitter. And HiQ is another data science lab that, it's actually a company that gave this controversy popularity when LinkedIn went after them by filing a court case, saying, hey, you can't just lift data out of our platform. And this was back in 2018 when a district court, perhaps in California, ruled in favor of HiQ. It's spelled H-I-Q, saying it's legal for agencies like HiQ, data labs like HiQ to extract data from platforms. And LinkedIn lost that case, right? And that's when the genesis of this controversy began. Let's understand this with some more real-life examples for clarifying what exactly it looks. For example, you might have a marketing team in your organization, and these marketing people, right, they want to go after a certain target audience for a campaign. Let's say you want to target customer service managers across the e-commerce verticals. So what you do is you go to LinkedIn as a platform and you filter down those personas in LinkedIn, and then you use the tools that we just mentioned, like Phantom Buster or Duck Soup, and then you scrape all those data and then use it to your business advantage to run super targeted campaigns. That's where the real use case of scraping belongs. And although it's very beneficial for the businesses doing the web scraping, I personally think it's bad, it's unethical, it's immoral for businesses who do web scraping, because they are, these platforms who are building user database for so many years, they are putting their hard work and time and effort to do this, but then there comes a new player in the market who just free ride on this data out of the blue.
Right. So I think I have a slightly different viewpoint. I would like to look at it neutrally from a marketer's angle, because there's one side when you look at it from a LinkedIn's point of view, where they own the data or where the data belongs. Whereas from the marketer's point, it's not that. So any information that is available in the public, I think it makes a lot more sense to make use of it in the most effective manner. Yes, there is a question of ethics. For example, if you look at the likes of Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, if you look at, you cannot have monopoly over data. That's what I personally believe in. As much we say that, data is becoming more and more transparent at the most stringent we are becoming in terms of privacy with GDPR and CCPA and all of that. But somewhere, if you look at it, data still is confined to a privileged few. And if these kind of information, which is available in the public, why not make use of it? So that's one angle that I'll go with. And second thing is, when you look at a tool like Phantom Buster, for instance, right, the way people use it, and Phantom Buster by itself, I'm just taking one tool as an example from what you mentioned so that we can go a little deeper to get the specifics. With Phantom Buster, there are still restrictions. It's not like you go hit the particular IP time and again and you download thousands of people's contacts. It's still limited in its own way and it has its own restrictions as to you can say download only 30 people or like 500 people within 30 minutes, something like that. That's number one. And secondly, it does not give you your emails or it does not give you all the contact. Think of it more as a filter on top of existing data to focus on what you want. It's just that. And for that matter, even LinkedIn Sales Navigator is very similar in many ways, right? So you will be able to go there and give a filter of the kind of people that you want to target and just get the exact set of people. And then export that. Now, when LinkedIn Sales Navigator doesn't allow you to export that data into a sheet with all these contacts, in fact, for all that you pay for Sales Navigator, there is no option for you to download the filtered data. That is, if I create a lead list of about 500 contacts, I will not be able to export that into a Google Sheet or anything. Now, if Phantom Buster is helping you do that, why not take that? You know, it's. I think that way, it's a useful tool. Than complaining about it, I would say we should be using something like that.
That's a very interesting viewpoint, Yag. But I still fundamentally think that the platforms have every right to gate the user data that they have put in effort and time to maintain and build over years. The Sales Navigator example, for instance, is something that they own, right? It's part of their product suite. And they have all the right to create a walled garden environment where they can contain the data and not let the data go out of their control. From a business point of view, it makes sense. But then if there is a third party player who comes into the scene without explicit content of platforms like LinkedIn, it's unfair use of the data is what I'm saying.
Right. But again, think of it this way. When you are creating your profile and somebody is owning your data, that's also not fair. So from that angle, I think it's still important for us to be neutral and giving access to everyone than saying that I own your data. Even if I'm LinkedIn, even if I'm Twitter, I cannot own your data. It's yours. That's what the core of GDPR and CCPA is, that, you allow your vendors to delete your information at any given point of time. You can request them that your information can be deleted, or you want to take out you. And in fact, even if you look at CCPA right now, it allows data portability, which means when you're moving from one platform to another, you are still allowed to port all your information. To give you a simple, very simplistic scenario, this might not suit the B2B context, but just for simplistic understanding, say you're having a playlist that you listen to on your iTunes on a daily basis. Now, when you're moving to Spotify, you can take out all the data and port your playlist from here into Spotify and immediately allow the ML engines there to make sure that it personalizes the experience for you. So when that is allowed, data is also something that should work the same way.
Right. Again, I think it's a huge gray area when you think about it from an objective point of view. I have heard similar arguments from other proponents of this idea, but there are equally worrisome arguments from the from the opposing sides who say, if this becomes a new normal, for example, the court ruling that happened in favor of HiQ against LinkedIn, imagine the kind of precedent it sets for companies who might be not as ethical as HiQ or other companies, right? This might open floodgates of new immoral trends for companies to come and free ride on other people's hard work and all that kind of thing. And I also think that, see, we have talked about businesses, two sides of the businesses who are in favor of data scraping and against it, right? But when discussing this, I think we are leaving a huge piece in the equation, which is the users, right? Like you mentioned earlier, eventually it's the owners, it's the users who own the data. They are just giving their data to these platforms for making use of that platform to connect or to generate content and all that. But let's look at it from their point of view, right? It's a violation. It's a violation of user data. If you look at it from that angle, for example, if I create an account in LinkedIn to make use of that platform to connect with new people, to exchange ideas and all that, I am giving them explicit consent to engage with that platform and not any third-party platform like Phantom Buster or Duck Soup and all that. So it's a violation of user data in that context. It feels like a breach. It feels like my data is compromised without my consent. It might be happening without my realization, right? So that's a big piece of concern that I think we should take into consideration when discussing data.
Right. So this is why I think it's a perfectly gray area, because when it comes to GDPR and CCPA, we are talking about PII, which is personally identifiable information.
Mm-hmm.
It does not, or it need not control when it comes to any publicly available information. So as long as it's in the public domain, I still think it should be open and it should be access free.
Right.
Now let me also zoom it out a little and understand what happens to some specific markets. Let's say LinkedIn, we are talking about US.
I think we are being very narrowed on the US market, right, only, but right, we have to take it take a look at it from a global perspective, right?
Correct.
What's your say on that?
Right. So I think that's where I think when it comes to GDPR, I feel Europe is relatively well protected.
Mm-hmm.
And there it's not, you cannot randomly reach out to people. There's one area where I think LinkedIn provides a good segue getting mm-hmm. into that segment is, like, I cannot email anybody in the GDPR market, that is in Europe or European Union. Now, using LinkedIn, there's a way that I can do an email and connect with them if there is a connection already there. So I can start a conversation, because it's not a net new conversation, but there is an opportunity for me to converse because we are already connected. So those are the kind of advantages we might be missing out if we are scraping data completely and sending out emails.
Right, you can do that.
I think respecting the platform's existence and its utility can be helpful as long as you remain within the guidelines.
Right. So the GDPR actually explicitly warns against the practice and technique of web scraping. But let's zoom out a little bit more and localize it to the Indian context, right? In India, for example, I think web scraping is a norm. I don't think we go by the US regulations. If it's within the marketing team's reach, I think nobody's stopping them, because there are not defined parameters, no defined regulations to spell that out, right? And what happens is businesses outside of the US mostly mimic what businesses in the US do. Most of the tech regulations usually originate from court rulings or the tech policies that these tech companies define, and then it slowly and gradually becomes a norm across the globe, and then we tend to follow that eventually. So
it,
I think,
also boils down to where your customers are. Like, so if you have enough number of customers in the US and in the European region, then of course you have to follow the rules regardless. It's a privilege, or it's an experiment worth trying for you, as long as you are in a small scale and it doesn't affect you much. But once you grow into a responsible position, it is recommended that your actions are far more important and responsible.
Yeah. The other angle that I think this controversy is going to go is, there was this CEO from a company called Clearview AI, who recently appeared in one of the talk shows in CNN, if I'm remembering this correctly. He came out and said that, hey, web scraping is completely legal, completely okay, because the US First Amendment guarantees it. And that's a bold claim to make, right? And if it ties to something like that, I think we are definitely going to reach a consensus of both parties saying, hey, if it benefits both of us, for example, the companies like LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, versus the companies like Phantom Buster, DuckSoup, and IQ, they're going to reach a consensus saying, why don't we make it useful for both of us? Let's make it a win-win situation by doing it through API integrations, for example, instead of scraping, back-channel scraping. Let's make it agreed upon way. The other angle, I think, is if this is not going to reach a consensus anytime soon, platforms like tech giants like LinkedIn and Google, they will have to find a way to gate their user data in a way that is not accessible to platforms like...
I think this is something I would leave it out in the open to see what direction it takes, because I might not necessarily be in favor of gating everything, because I personally think gating is a thing of the past, and it's not the way to go forward, especially if you look at the way Facebook works, right? So they say that we are not breaking the law. But if you look at it, if you question it from an ethical standpoint, it might not be ethical all the time.
The big companies that we are taking sides in this context actually are the biggest violators of data breach, if correct. You look at the past trend, right?
Right, exactly. So that way, if you look at it, look at influencer marketing from all these, from the angles of Facebook and LinkedIn, the more people are measured by your likes and presence and engagement and all of that. So these people go back and start taking away those numbers. Now, Instagram, right, for example, right. stopped showing the number of likes or the number of, for these influencers, which are the numbers that they go by to sell themselves. So somewhere, I think it's still a huge gray area, and we'll only have to...
I think everybody is equally guilty, because Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn are not the same platform that they were supposed to be when they started out, right? They're gaming the algorithms in their favor to make their business and services financially successful. Great point.
So I think ethics is also a moving target, which will keep moving over a period of time, and we'll have to see how things pan out over a period of time. So
the takeaway from this discussion, Yag, I gather, is data scraping is a huge gray area for everyone involved at this point of time. And on a value scale, it's more of a moral and ethical issue than being a legal or illegal issue right now. And as one marketer to another, the suggestion that we have for you is, if you're not sure about scraping data off of these platforms that we just mentioned, don't do it, because there are tons of other ethical and more genuine, authentic ways to do marketing than scraping data from third-party platforms.
With that being said, we would love to hear from you about what you think about this topic. Our DMs are open on LinkedIn. You can reach out to us anytime. And until next episode, this is me, Manish.
And this is me, Yag. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.